It's good to be together again. Amen. This weekend, we sense the leading of the Lord to touch this matter of our running of the Christian race. Amen. Our running of the Christian race. You know, in several places in the New Testament, the Christian life is likened to a race. And particularly, we will focus this weekend on the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Actually, I would ask if you could take out your Bibles and we could read some verses right away to show this. And what's in my heart this morning is maybe to present in this session, we'll see how the Lord leads us and how much time we have, but if possible, I would like to cover these three points related to our running of the Christian race. And these are, number one, what is the race? What is this race? Number two, how do we run? How do we run? You know, in some places in the New Testament, it says we should sit. Sit, which means you rest. Right. That's in Ephesians. It says we're actually sitting in the heavenlies. Did you know that right now you're sitting in the heavenlies? Yeah. That's what the Bible said. Do you feel it? You should say, Brother Ricky, it doesn't matter whether I feel it or don't feel it. If that's what the Bible says, then that's what it is. Amen? Amen. So right now, we are sitting in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Okay. But it also, the Bible charged us to walk. As you have received the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. You know this verse? Walk by the Spirit. Amen. It tells us to walk. So sometimes the Lord charges us, walk. Actually, there are times when it says, stand.
Right.
Don't just sit, stand. Do you know that you should stand as you're sitting? And you should sit as you're standing. We're not going to get into that. But it doesn't mean when you stand, you're not sitting. But there are clearly places where it says we should run.
Amen.
Run! Are you running the Christian race? Or are you only walking? There are times when we need to run. You know, there are other places. You may be familiar with these too. It says, flee! You know, I can think of at least three places in the New Testament where it says, flee! You know, when you're fleeing, I don't think you're walking. Right? There's a kind of sense that you also are running. So not only the places that talk about running are about running, I think the places that talk about fleeing are also about running. And if you've been with us before, well, let me say it the other way, sorry. How many of you are with us in this kind of setting, this kind of conference for the Young Working Saints and the Young Families? This is your first time with us here. Could you raise your hand I think there's quite a number. Oh, welcome. Maybe a quarter, maybe a third even. Yeah, so welcome. But for those of you that have been with us in times past, at least I can think of a couple of times when at the beginning I told you I didn't have a title. You remember a couple of those times? And we somewhat came to a consensus what the title should be, but by the last one. I think the last time that we were together it was like this. It was like something like the law of revival and Peter. Remember that? Yeah. And the second and, that phrase, and Peter, should be in quotations. Because you're quoting the Bible. So if you don't put the quotation, it really looks funny. Yeah. The law of revival and Peter. People think, oh, that's wrong. It should just be the law of revival and Peter. But no. It was the law of revival and Peter. Okay. But this time, actually, the title came to me first. The title came first. So I'd like to go with this title. And please note, the title is not Running the Race. That's too general. Running the race, or running the Christian race. It's our running. Our running. I contemplated for a little bit whether it should be, I should try to make it even more personal, which of course would be what? My running. Now, I hope each of us would apply this. My running. How am I running? How am I running? And if you have a very close companion in the Lord, you can check with one another. Brother, how are you running? Actually, we might tell a fellow sister that we're very close with, I'm concerned about your lack of running. But you could only do that with those you're more intimate with. If not, you offend them. They would say, what? You think you're running faster? Don't do that. But I hope we'll see, if not in this session, in the next session, I hope you'll see. It's my running really depends on our running. If we don't have the hour, it's O-U-R, if we don't have the hour, it's very difficult to sustain the my. Actually, right there, if you just get that one lesson, for some of you, that's worth the whole conference. The Lord might be speaking to you. Too much my. Need more our. If you have more our, O-U-R, you'll have more my, M-Y. Sometimes our speaking is very mysterious. Sit while you stand, stand while you sit. Our and my. Anyway, this is the spiritual talk. Okay, do you have Hebrews 12 open?
Yes.
Yeah, can we read? Let's read the first three verses. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3, all together. Strong spirit. Amen. Amen.
Therefore.
Right from the beginning, it says, well, the first word is therefore. Therefore. So you know that this chapter does not stand alone. It's based on something before. Many of us know Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith. On faith. Right there is a key point. I told you three points I want to share with you. What is the race? How to run, what are the obstacles, impediments, hurdles? Well, this is point number two, how to run. We'll see in much more detail. The key element is this, faith. Faith. When I say, how's your running? Actually, in a good sense, I'm asking, how's your faith? Are you healthy in faith? Are you feeding your faith? Are you exercising your faith? You may say, oh, Brother Ricky, I lost my faith. Actually, I understand what you mean, but according to the Bible, that's impossible. But I understand what you mean. I understand what you mean. And I sympathize with you, because that happened to me too. But according to the Bible, not so. You have faith. Amen. Then it's very possible what you think is faith is not really faith. That's why you feel that way. Anyway, we'll get into that. But then it says, therefore, let us also. Both words are very meaningful. Us! That's why I want to title this conference, not my running, our running. You know, the book of Hebrews, technically, we don't know 100% who the writer was, because it's not like the other epistles. I, John, I, Peter, I, Paul, like this and that. But there are many hints that this is Paul. And I believe it's Paul. Right. So I'm just going to say Paul. So don't be bothered if you think it's, oh, but you can't. But anyway, I'm going to say Paul. Paul said, let us also. Paul was a big member of the body. Big member of the body. He didn't say me, let me also. I will. Let us also. Us. This is a corporate running. That's a point. That's a lesson. It's a corporate running. It's not I'm running and you're running and I'm trying to compete against you. That's not that kind of running. So don't compare. Aid. A-I-D. We shouldn't compare ourselves to others. We should help one another. We should draw from one another. You see someone going on, don't get jealous of their going on. Join yourself to them so you can run faster. Sometimes there's a phrase, right? There's an idiom. You shoot yourself in the foot, right? That means you injure yourself without realizing. Oh, the enemy wants to stop the running of the race. At least he can't stop the entire race. But he'd like to stop you. Actually, he could never stop you forever. He'd like to delay you. He'd like to delay you. Let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, if you know chapter 11, and we're going to look at that in a few moments. Chapter 11 gives the definition of faith. That's in the first one or two verses. And then it gives a history of faith. A history. Sometimes they're called the witnesses of faith. Others who had faith. Today I'd like to say it this way. Case studies of faith. Maybe this afternoon we'll do some case studies. We'll take a look at the lives of actual people. And we'll see. They didn't have it any easier than we. Actually, in many, many regards, the ones we'll look at, their situations were so challenging, even impossible. But faith can do the impossible. And if it can do it in them, it can do it in us. I hope we'll see that. Then it says, putting away every encumbrance. Well, no. Let me go back. Having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. This is a kind of picture that Paul was painting that is probably an allusion to the Olympics. Where you have a race, because he says, right? Let us eventually run with endurance the race set before us. So we're running But we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. That's like being in an arena, being in a stadium. And the fans there are, you know, cheering and cheering. Except in the Olympics, you only cheer for your country. If somebody else is leading, you go, boo, boo, yay, yay, boo. But for us, no boos. Everyone's cheering. Because you know what? Actually, this is a kind of marathon relay. You know what a marathon relay? This is where you pass the baton. You pass, and they have them. And actually, every one of them that's, you know, we may not have this realization. Right now, they're surrounding us. You don't see it. But we have a cloud of witnesses, very interested. What's going on at Penuel this weekend? A lot of stuff goes on here. I think they're very interested in this place. They say, oh, it's the young adults. Oh, this part of the body, the young working saints, the young families who are what? The torso of the body, the strength of the body, the backbone of the body. Oh, it's so important for them all to run. I think they're all cheering. They're all cheering. But you have to understand, everyone who's cheering ran their part of the race already. Like when you go and buy a ticket to the Olympics, suppose you go and you're watching and you're in the stands and you're cheering, you're not part of the team. If you were part of the team, you'd be down there. But actually, we're all part of this one team. And then they all ran. They all ran. And we'll look at how they ran, some of them, in chapter 11. And then after they ran, they took their seat for the next one. Go. You may not have this realization. I know, in our daily life we don't have this realization. But the same cloud of witnesses is there too. Amen. Is there too, watching, encouraging. Yes, he's waking up 10 minutes earlier. Yes, he's getting up 10 minutes earlier to have morning revival. They're cheering you on. And then you're there, oh Lord Jesus, I love you. And you don't know, you're just there, oh Lord Jesus, I love you. And oh, I have a test today. Oh, I forgot. And then you're one, and they're saying, oh no, he's getting distracted. Oh Lord, bring him back. Bring him back. And you're, Lord Jesus, oh, I hope this test. Oh, wait, what am I doing? Forget the test. Lord Jesus, I love you. And they're. This is not a fairy tale. That's what this means. There's a cloud of witnesses surrounding us so that we would run our race. Actually, go back, because it says, therefore. Let's go back to the end of chapter 11 and look at this. Let's start from verse, where should we start? We'll read more of these later. 37. Let's read from 37 to 40. These are the ones that ran before us. Okay, go.
They were stoned, they were stoned, they were tempted, they died by the murder of the sword, they wandered about in sheep skins, in
They know this. Therefore, let us also run with endurance. Amen. They ran with endurance. Some were victorious, you know, like Daniel. You know Daniel? It says, there, I think, stop the, we didn't read it. Stop the mouth of lions. That's part of the, you know, Daniel was thrown in there. You know that story? I just read that in my Bible reading this week, that story. And the king didn't want to do it, but to save face. And his edict has to, his word has to stand. Threw him in there. And then he didn't sleep that night. He says, Daniel, he came in the morning. Daniel. He says, hi, king. And, oh, the God of Daniel. So Daniel was not hurt. His three friends, you know, three companions, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they were thrown into the, the furnace. And then they threw him into the furnace. And then the king said, wait, didn't we throw in three? I see four. And one looks like son of God. Son of God? Son of man? Son of the gods, right? Son of the gods. The Lord standing with them. So then they came out. And, hi, we're okay. And, you know, and it says they didn't even smell like smoke or anything like that. So some, they had that. But not all. Some were sawn in two. What is that? Some were tortured. Some were imprisoned. We know there's maybe more stories of that than the other kind of victory. They exercised their faith and enjoyed God's silence. And they're cheering us on. Sometimes when you exercise faith in this journey, in this race, you get to enjoy God's silence. That ever happened to you? But some, what happened is they got stumbled by God's silence. And it slowed them down. Not these people. Not these people. We have to run. Run. But the point that I want to make here is this, what it says at the end there. Because God has provided something better for us. Apart from us, they would not be made perfect. That is, they need us to finish the accomplishment of God's eternal economy. We're connected to all the previous witnesses of faith. We may not realize that. They're very interested in how you run the Christian race, because they have a stake in it. Someone has to finish this. You know, when you have the marathon, usually, I believe, it's four, right? From what I know, four. The marathon, the relay is four. And after you finish, you're so tired, but you're interested in what are they doing? You don't go take a shower. You're like, okay, I'm done. And then you know, hey, we got third place. Oh, great. Hey, we won the gold. Oh, great. It's not like that. When the last one comes, you've seen those pictures. Maybe some of you have been there live. The last one finishes. The whole team is. That's what they're waiting. Sooner or later, there will be a last. And it's very possible. It's very possible, dear saints. This is you. This is your generation. You know, the Lord gave this parable, remember, about hiring workers at 6 a.m. and then at another, 9 a.m. like this. And then he hired at 5 p.m. It was the 11th hour. You know, that even that phrase, the 11th hour, has come into our vernacular, right? It's 11th hour means it's close to the end. That's a Bible term. That came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, the 11th hour. Now people talk about 11th hour. Brothers, saints, it's the 11th hour. And there it says, you know that story. He pays the last one first, and he gives them, you know, a pay. And then the ones he gives earliest, the hired, worked the whole day, he gave them the same. Somebody was not happy. They were, I get the same as them? He says, what? I'm the master. I have my right to do whatever. Yeah. So don't take that to mean, I think the Lord was talking to Peter, but don't think that Peter is booing you. Okay, you understand? I think Peter is still, go. I think he learned the lesson. I think he learned the lesson through that parable. But the point is, there the Lord said, the last shall be first. You know, the last part of the marathon, they get like the most glory. They're the ones that they show the picture. They may not show the picture of the second one running. Sorry. Or the third one running. Sorry. But the fourth one, the camera follows. Everybody's looking. And then they all come. That's what they're waiting for. Generations of believers. The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. That's the story. They are encouraging us in this race. And saints, for this race, every day, every hour of our daily life matters and is part of this race. What is the race? Let's come to this point. You know, here, there are a few places where these three words are used. Race, this is 12:1, Hebrews 12:1. Please look at Hebrews 12:13, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 says this, therefore set straight the hands, and make straight paths for your feet. Paths. So I want to talk about the race and paths. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 20 says, which entrance he initiated for us as a new and living way. So the book of Hebrews has these three words, the way, the race, and the paths. The way, the race, and the paths. These are all referring to the same thing. But what is the race actually? What is the way? What is the path? It's very easy. John 14:6 says, Christ says, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. So actually, the path is Christ. And the race is Christ. You may say, well, that sounds a little doctrinal. That's okay. But it's important for us to know. The race is actually Christ. It may help us to know a little background of the book of Hebrews. Some of us are familiar. I'm not sure all of us. You know, Hebrews was written to Jewish believers, right? We know this. Jewish believers, who we know their background was starting there in Judaism. And Judaism has all the types. They had not the whole Bible, but they had the Old Testament. They had the worship of the true God. They had the tabernacle. They had the offerings. So they had the word, the tabernacle, the offerings. They had the priesthood that brings, through the offerings, brings people to God. Okay. Then these Hebrews, they were Jewish, they got saved. So they went from the Old Testament economy to the New Testament economy. Okay. But what happened? What happened was that probably by family connections, even just in society, I hope we could sympathize with them. The pressures, were very strong. And so, some of them slowed down in the Christian race. And they either went back to Judaism or they were half and half. They were trying to be half and half. I don't think you can actually be half and half. But they were trying to be here and there, here and there. So Paul was trying to encourage them. Go on. Go on. You know, Galatians 5:7. We don't have to turn to it, but I'll tell you, it has this phrase. You were running well. Who hindered you? Because the ones in Galatia had the same problem. And Paul says this, you were running well. Who hindered you? Who slowed you down? What happened? I wonder if we would stop right now and have 10 minutes to go pray somewhere on this campus here. And we just take this one verse. What would the Lord speak to you?
Yeah.
You were running well. Who hindered you? Maybe not. Maybe you're still running well. But maybe you're running well, but not as well as when you started. Maybe you slowed down. Why? I think the Lord wants us to reflect a little. What happened? Sometimes, I'm remembering right now an incident, a situation, when I started working. I was by trade, I'm a CPA, accountant. So I was working in this public accounting firm, and it was busy season. Some of you know what that is. Basically, we're working 9 to 9, 9 to 10, 9 to 12, 9 to 2, day after day after day, for about 2 months, including Sundays, the Lord's Day, including the Lord's Day. Except some of my Jewish friends, they would not come in on Saturday. I saw that, I said, what? So I went to my supervisor, and says, you know, according to my religion, this is the words I used, according to my religion, I must attend the worship service on Sunday morning. They go, oh, no problem. Can you come in after, or do you need the whole day? I said, no, I'll come in after. They said, no problem. So I got the Lord's table back. You got to fight for some of these things. You have to learn to navigate. And actually, people, do respect. Do respect. Excuse me. But I was in this stretch, busy season. And I remember one Friday night. You know, we would work that schedule every day except Fridays. Friday, we'd always stop at 6. And then most of my coworkers would then go to the bar. Happy hour. And there was always like, aren't you coming? Aren't you coming? And I was like, you know, I have an appointment. The appointment was a Friday night meeting, but I didn't want to say it that way. So, I have an appointment. Every Friday? You have appointments? But I remember I was downtown Manhattan, Wall Street area. My client was there. I was walking the subway, and I had this feeling, what happened to you? I was talking to myself. What happened to you? You have absolutely no heart, zero, to go to this meeting. You'd rather be with them. And I was not like that. You know, one thing I have to say, the jobs that I was in, the coworkers that I had, it was such a great environment for the most part. We really loved one another. I mean, it was a great place to work. We really loved one another. And also, my goodness, you're spending more time with these people than with your family. And without realizing, something gets infused into you. We're going to talk about infusion because faith has a lot to do with infusion, the infusing of the element of Christ into us. But you know, there's other kind of infusion. When we are with other people, something of them just gets infused into us. And you have to be aware. You have to be aware, not to be shaped in such a passive way by all the ones around you. You have to decide whether you need a filter and what's a filter. You have to decide that. If not, you will change. Sometimes to the better, but as far as the world is concerned, as far as the Christian race is concerned, if you're not exercised, you will be, that's what it talks about in Romans, you'll be conformed to the image of the age. You'll be conformed to the age. You don't have to do anything to be conformed to the age. Just spend time with people. Just with not much inward exercise. I'm not saying don't be with them. There were times that I had the leading, not on a Friday, but, you know, to socialize. There was some party or something. I had the feeling, I had the leading to go. Be with them. Don't be, you know, always give them the impression you're holier than thou. I said, I don't want to do that. And they know me. They know I'm not that way. So I had the feeling to go. So I went. One time I remember, I went there. It was my coworker. Her name was Faye. She goes, oh, look. She goes, hey, look who's here. Because I did it so rarely. They were like, oh, he showed up. Look at that. And then she took me to the table. Right away, she led me in. Put your coat down. Drinks here. And she said this. She said this to me. She says, this is not your table. Your table's over here. That was all the, you know, soft drinks. Coke, ginger ale, whatever. So I was there, but even there I had a testimony. So it was not that I didn't want to be with them. But that night I remember, after weeks and weeks of, you know, this kind of busy season, overtime, I realized my faith, my love, just... Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. I wasn't out doing things or, you know. But my faith level went down because I wasn't with the faith people. When you spend time with the faith people and when you spend time with the faith book, you get faith. Even, I would say, do not underestimate the value of having hymns just in the background, in your car, in your home, in your office if you can. You know, recently I went to a dentist and I recalled that I had a dentist when we lived in Manhattan, when we lived in the city. There was a dentist 3 or 4 blocks away and he was a brother in the Lord, that dentist. Not meeting with us, but he was a brother. How could I tell? Because he had Christian music playing in the background throughout the office. He's like, you don't care. You don't like it? Don't come. I'll find other teeth. There'll be plenty of mouths will come. Right? So he would play his Christian music. I said, oh, this is great. This is the first dentist thing that I ever like. You know, it was pleasant going to the dentist. Don't tell Aaron. Yeah. But it was like a pleasant experience. Even that, you're sitting there, and the music's going on. And those are hymns, you know, not the hymns that we know, that, like, you know, those CDs that, you know, we have. They're classical Christian hymns, but I know almost all of them from my background. And I'm walking home, and I'm saying, holy, holy, holy. You know, it's just because it gets infused into you. Spend time with the faith people and you get faith. And you're running, even you don't realize it. faith is Christ. Amen. These Hebrews, back to the story of the background, the Hebrews, they had all these types. Then they found out Christ is the reality of everything. Christ is the Lamb, right? So Christ is all the offerings. Christ is the tabernacle. He says, when he came, it says he tabernacled among us. He says, I'm the light of life. You don't need the lampstand in the tabernacle. He's the light of life. I'm the bread of life. You don't need the showbread in the tabernacle either. He's the bread. He's the reality of everything. But they were running after Christ. They're running after Christ. Something happened, and they started not looking at Christ. As soon as they didn't look at Christ, they slowed down. And then what happened? They went back to what was not Christ. To things. And it's very possible. We could be in the church life, but we are just doing things. And we're not focused on the person. We need things. We need meetings. We need morning revival. We need the ministry books to help us, to bring us to Christ. But I tell you, saints, if while we're doing any of these things and you miss Christ, then you're one of these Hebrews. We need to come back to Christ himself. I think many of you can testify on my behalf. I don't know anyone that emphasizes morning personal time with the Lord more than I. Maybe there's others, but I think I'm right there with them. So I always talk about that. I'm going to talk about that today. But if you have the practice but not the person, it's religion. Yeah. It becomes religion. So we have to endeavor to always keep ourselves on the path. On the path. Don't take an exit. Don't slow down. Run. Run the race. Oh, actually, I want to read this now. This is from Hebrews Message 30. Hebrews Message 30. Hebrews Life Study 30. The Hebrew believers, this is the beginning of the message. It's called to be brought onto maturity and fleeing into the refuge with the anchor and the forerunner. That's the name, title of the message. But number 30, first page. The Hebrew believers to whom this book was written were staggering in their Christian life. They were wondering in their mind whether to go on or to go back. So I just described to you. At that very point, this book was written to encourage them to go on. The best way to go on is to forget everything. Once we forget everything, we shall go on. We may spend much time to consider our environment, our past, our future, and all things related to it. Yet we would not spend 1 hour in going on. Many times, dear saints have come to me asking about the past, the present, future, and many other things. I became famous for never answering their questions. I only gave them one word of advice. Go on. Don't talk. Don't remember your past. You should even forget the present and not care for the future. If you really want to go on, then just go on. I love this. Those who are going on the best are those who do not remember anything. Consider the runners in a race. While they're running, they have no time to think of anything else. They only know one thing, running the race. Here we see a principle, basic principle. If any one of us has fallen from the track, from the right track, or has stopped running in the race and then is stirred up to go on, he should not hesitate or ask questions. Oh, I know many saints through the years. They had a little stumbling. They had, and then they get stirred to come back, but they feel, I'm hopeless. Have you ever encountered someone like this? Or have you ever felt this way? I'm hopeless. I can't. Saints, this word, this is precious. He should not hesitate, should not ask questions. He should just go on. When many of the young people are stirred up to go on with the Lord, some of them are concerned with what they should do before they can go on, wondering whether the Lord will forgive them or be happy with them. Some people think, oh, no, what I did is too much. The Lord can never love me. Stop it! You should just... Sometimes, like, you need to do it physically. Stop. If you are like this, it will be difficult for you to go on with the Lord. If you mean business with the Lord, simply go on. Forget about whether he will forgive you or be happy with you. Do not take time to consider such things until you have reached the goal and gained the prize. Then you worry about, do you forgive me or not? Just run! Oh, amen. Do not wonder whether you are right or wrong. Just go on. We should forget about laying another foundation and just go on. Do not consider whether the Lord will forgive you or not. Just go on until you reach the goal. Once you have been stirred up to go on with the Lord, you do not need that much repentance. Oh, listen to this. Repentance has been overemphasized in today's revivalistic Christianity. Nearly every revivalist has learned one thing, to stir up people to repentance. But now I must tell you that you do not need that much repentance. The Lord is bored with your repentance. In a sense, the Lord is disgusted with so many repenting prayers. He wants to see you going on, not repenting of the same thing over and over again. To go on simply means to cross the river, to go from one side to another, from one stage to another, from one standing to another. Do not talk or consider, go on. Leave your old concepts, understandings, doctrines, and teachings, and go on. The faster you go on, the better. These three phrases, the race, the way, and the paths, give us a little window on how to run the race. They give us a little window in these portions. Of course, let's touch the way first. The way. This word way is used in Hebrews 10:20. Actually, I'd like, again, for your impression, I'd like you to open this and read it from the Bible yourself, not just hear it from me. So if you can, Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Go together.
Having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus.
20.
And having a great priest over the house of God, let us come forward to the Holy of Holies with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water.
Amen. So here, when it talks about the way, this is referring to the way into the Holy of Holies. The way in the tabernacle or the temple. And I think most of us are familiar with this. You know, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, God's house, had three sections, right? The outer court, the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Well, I'm going to make it a little smaller. And then there was, the entrance is here, and this is always facing east. They would set up the tabernacle, and this was like a fence, right? A fence. I talked to some saints this morning. They're going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You know, in Lancaster, have some of you been there?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a replica of the tabernacle. Yeah. I don't know if that was on your list of things to see in Lancaster, but there's a replica of the tabernacle. And, full size kind of thing. And then, so this is the outer court. And out here is the altar, right? Bronze altar, right? Burnt offering. Then there's a laver, where they would wash. And then they'd go into the holy place. And in the holy place, three things. I'm going to change the color here. In the holy place, there's firstly what? The showbread table. Right? Showbread table with all the bread there. 12, don't count. And then lampstand. Okay, and so the lampstand, right, with seven lamps. And then the altar of incense. And then in here was the ark. Here was the ark. Okay, so it says that in chapter 10, that a new and living way has been opened for us. New and living way. And so that's the new and living way into the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Of course, today we don't have the physical temple. And this Holy of Holies, where Christ is, where God's glory is actually our spirit. Right. So how do you run this race? This is, in a sense, this is the path of the race. The path of the race is first the blood.
Amen.
Saints, we have to always appropriate the blood. Amen. Very often I feel this way. Lord, where would I be? What would I be if I didn't have your blood? Thank you for your blood. Yeah, and we all have to be so clear. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen?
Yeah.
What verse is that? 29. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Forgive and cleanse us.
Amen.
Forgive and cleanse.
Amen.
Forgive there. Cleanse on my conscience. What verse? You know what? Then it says, he casts our sins behind his back. Do you know that verse? Got to look for that one. It says he removes them as far as the east is from the west. It says he casts them into the depths of the sea. You know, man can go to the moon, but can't reach the depths of the sea. But that's where he throws our sin. Then he says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. How is that? Only God forgets. Because you don't forget. Satan doesn't forget. He reminds you. You remember. That's what brings you down. God said, I forget. Just say, amen.
Amen.
Just this point. I think if some of us would conquer this point, our Christian life would change. We get dragged down by our own sin. And then the accuser of the brothers. But the Bible says, he's been cast down.
Amen.
So just take that. Just say, amen.
Amen.
You know, when I was a teenager, we used to have a song. I don't know if it was around when you started coming. Overcomers know how to use the blood. You don't know this? You ever hear this? Overcomers know how to use the blood. Know how to use the blood. Know how to use the blood. Overcomers know how to use the blood, trusting not in time.
Amen.
What does that mean? Very often, we trust time more than the blood. What does that mean? That means, oh, I feel bad. So I'm down. After 3 or 4 days, that guilt, it kind of wears off. It's like, okay, I can read the Bible now. You trust time more than the blood. And you wasted 3 days. No wonder we're not ahead in our journey, in our race. Just the blood, just this.
Yeah,
Then keep running. Keep running on this new and living way. Brings you where? To here. That's the laver. You know the laver? The laver represents the washing of the water in the Word. Because we don't only have the problem of sin, we have the problem of the world. And the world, you just can't, it's very difficult to discern and decipher sometimes. Because what's the world to you may not be the world to me. And then you see another brother do this, and they can do that, and then you do it, and then your spirit goes down. How can they do it? Don't think about it. Don't just run. But if you feel, oh, there's like a insulation. You didn't do anything wrong, but something's wrong. Take the washing of the water in the Word. Amen. Just even 1 minute to take a verse and just pray over the verse. The Word of God. This is not the washing of sin, because you didn't sin. This is the influence of the world.
Right.
The influence of the world has to wash us. This could be 5 minutes on TikTok, or 25, whatever you do. This could be just, you're checking the news. I check the news every day. But you check the news, and the news may just, there's just something. You just had a nice time with the Lord. Now you catch up. Okay, that's legitimate. But why did something, say, oh Lord, thank you for your Word. Just repeat the verse you enjoyed this morning. That'll be gone. So then you go to work. Just still in buoyancy. Full of the Spirit. Okay, so we need that. Then you come in here. You come in here and you turn right. And you need the bread. A little eating. Saints, if I say, how are you running? How's your running of the Christian race? It really means, how's your faith? But if I say, how's your faith? It really means, how's your eating? Because faith comes from the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the Word of Christ. If you don't touch the Word, you won't have faith. If you don't touch the Word, you won't have supply. It's not magical. It's a principle. Eat and live. Eat and live. When we eat, we live because of Him. Spontaneously. Without trying. How's your eating? Some of us, just this may be the point the Lord is after this weekend. How's my eating? No wonder my faith just leaked out. I haven't been eating. Now, there's a difference. I know there's a difference. I spend a few minutes in the Bible, and I read, and I pray over that. And I don't get too much. Because why? Well, could be certain things. Of course, there could be sin. You have to confess. Of course, there could be the world. Well, you just let the Spirit wash you. But it could be just this. I'm reading, but this morning, I can't control my mind. I'm just everywhere. I don't know how to focus my mind on the Spirit. It says set the mind on the Spirit. I set my mind. But after 20 seconds, it's unset. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Have you learned to do that? I know it's not that easy. I've given entire conferences on just this one verse, on this point. How to capture the thoughts. It takes practice. But are you serious about running? If you're serious about running the Christian race, learn. Learn this. Don't just let it go. Don't just give up. This is the exercise of the Spirit. To exercise your spirit of power. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. We have a spirit of power, spirit of love, spirit of sober-mindedness. I tell you, the most important part is the spirit of power. Of the mind, emotion, will. Very often, we know, the mind is the leading part of the soul. Where the mind goes, you go. The emotion, we need the emotion, of course, to love the Lord. It's very troubling because we love other things. We love what we shouldn't love. We hate what we shouldn't hate sometimes. But I tell you, in our soul, the most important part is our will. Faith is related to our will. And once you're a believer, we have to exercise our spirit of power. Amen. That's faith. Another verse says we have a spirit of faith. That's 2 Corinthians 4:13. These are things, saints. These are things that you have. We were reading in Hebrews 10. I didn't read the next verse. I stopped you at 22. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope unwavering, for he who has promised is faithful." One reason we are not running the way we were before is we didn't hold fast what we had, what was given to us. Sometimes you may be in a meeting. I know some of you passed through the full-time training. You heard these messages. When at the time, there was something given to you. And maybe over a course of a week or two, the Lord led you into that reality. You broke through in something. It was amazing. Your Christian life, just you felt like, oh, this is tremendous. And that's not every day in the training, but you had some experience. Okay, I ask you, did you hold that fast? Or something happened and it loosened the grip. It's not that far away. You just have to take it up again. And don't let go. Okay, keep going. After eating is what? At the lampstand. Surely, within 1 week, I don't expect every day, surely within 1 week, if you're having proper fellowship with the Lord, there will be shining in your being about something. About an attitude. About you're too loose at work. About you're spending too much time with that person. You're letting influence come. Something. There'll be some shining. About your speech. About your manner. About your driving. Something. Within 1 week, there should be some specific shining. Of course, every day, there should be the shining on sin. Do you go a day with no sin? Praise the Lord. But if not, then there should be at least be light about our sin. But I'm talking about deeper light than that. About an attachment in the world. About a dream. About a pursuit. About our love. Even our love for our children. There should be, maybe that's why we're not running well. We had children. But children shouldn't stop you from running. We're going to see some case study this afternoon about parents who are part of the witnesses of faith. You know, there are parents in there. So don't blame the children. Have children. There's a lot of children here. Did you notice? It's so delightful walking up here, seeing all the children. That's one of, anyway, this is, it's a beautiful scene. But they shouldn't be the impediment. And those are not the impediments that I'm going to talk about. That's not the impediments that Paul talks about. There should be some shining. After this, come back. And you go to what? Prayer. The incense altar. And this prayer should guide us into the Holy of Holies. And we learn how to pray the proper prayers. The prayers, I would say, according to the principle of Psalm 27:4. Which say, one thing I have desired of Jehovah. And that will I seek, to dwell in his house all the days of my life. Amen. To behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. So there's a principle here. There's two things. Beholding, inquiring. Yes, at the incense altar. That is, when we pray. When we pray, we should pray for things, for God's move on the earth, for his interest on the earth. However, the real principle of prayer is always beholding first. When we behold him, when we see him, then we inquire at the right time, Lord, what shall we pray? What's on your heart that I should pray for? Lord, there's this situation. I have a job offer. I have a transfer offer. I'm considering migration. Lord, is this the time to bring it to you? And he may say, no, not yet. Just stay here and behold me. I got you on that. Don't worry about that. Don't be anxious about that. We'll figure that out. Actually, you don't need to figure it out. I already know my will. I just choose not to tell you today. You think the Lord, like, oh, he needs a few more days to make up his mind? But we're like, oh, I don't know what to do. You got to figure out. Because you feel you have to figure it out. That's the problem. You say, Lord, you have the answer, so I'm going to put this on the shelf and behold. Lord, you tell me which job to pick. You have the best one, because I don't know. That may be the problem. We're focused on the thing, not on the person. So our prayer, we should learn to fellowship. This kind of prayer always brings you to the Holy of Holies. Have you ever prayed for something and after you pray, you're more in darkness than before? You're more anxious than you were at the beginning and you have no answer. That's because your prayer was not on the pathway. Your prayer did not lead you to the Holy of Holies. Your prayer, I don't know what your prayer did. You started to pray and you ended up over here. But really, didn't that never happen to you? That's because you stop running the race because you stop looking away to Jesus. Okay, back to chapter 12. In chapter 12, it tells us, we put away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us and run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking away unto Jesus. The key to everything is Jesus. Looking away unto Jesus. Looking away from everything to him. And I love here it says, not looking away to Christ, but looking away to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that word author is so rich, that word author. That word author means inaugurator. That word author actually also means forerunner. It also means captain. Captain. It's the same word that's used in chapter 2. He's the author. He's the originator. He went all the way as a man. When I was a young, very young believer, I did not appreciate so much the human living of Jesus. I thought he came just to die. So I wondered, Lord, why didn't you come down as a 33-year-old man and just jump on the cross? Get it over with. Do you understand? But saints, I hope we would treasure the Gospels to see the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus. In verse 3 it says, for compare him who has endured such contradiction from sinners. Why does Paul say this? Compare him. So that means look away to Jesus, but consider him. Consider his life. This is pointing to his experience in the four Gospels. All that he went through. When we see that, you know what the result should be? It should be It should be, so that you may not grow weary, fainting in your souls. When we look away to him, and we look at the word and the gospels, and we see his life, we realize that overcomer is here. You know that little story, Peter. The disciples were on the boat, and it's nighttime, and you know, so on. And then Jesus walks on the water, and then they get scared. And he said, "No, don't be afraid. It is I." And he says, "If it's you, call me." He says, "Come." And then Peter starts walking on the water. And what does it say? It says something like this: when he saw the wind, how do you see wind? But anyway, when he saw the wind, the point is, he was not looking at Jesus. He saw something. He noticed, like, oh, the power to follow Christ is Christ. As soon as you look away, like, oh, I'm so bad. Oh, look at my situation. Oh, as soon as there's that's the wrong O. The right O is, oh, Lord Jesus. But we all do this. Don't we do this? We look away from Jesus to many things, including ourselves. Okay, we may come back to this. I just want to touch maybe 5 minutes. Then I want to turn. You'll have about 20 minutes for some response. I want to turn to this point on the impediments. Some of the impediments, obstacles. Also chapter 12. Maybe please open to chapter 12 again. Hebrews 12. Verse 6. Verse 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, 7. Let's read together if you have it. One obstacle in our running the Christian race is misunderstanding the hand of the Lord in our lives. Misjudging the Father's discipline. Sometimes he allows things in our life because he's after something. He wants to touch something. And maybe he's correcting something. But it's the source is love. Maybe we pray for something and pray and pray and pray. We don't get it. So we're disappointed with the Lord. Actually, the Father knows. If I give that to you, you don't know your heart. So we misunderstand. I think I've told you before this story. This is the, I've shared with you this parable. It's not it's an event in the Gospels, in Luke. There's 10 lepers. 10 lepers. You remember that story? And they see Jesus from a distance. And they, help us, son of David. And what does he say? Go show yourself to the priests. So they go. Now, how close were they to the Lord? We don't know exactly, but there was some distance. Because, as a leper, you're supposed to keep distance. Even cover your mouth and say, unclean, unclean. But they called, son of David, help us. Have mercy on us. So from a distance, right? Go show yourselves to the priest. So they went, further away from the Lord. No, they went away from the Lord. On the way to see the priest, they got cleansed. Right? Imagine that when you notice that you're going, oh, what's going to happen? We're going to, hey, look, oh, you're healed. You know, leprosy eats away the extremities of your, you know. And I see you. Wait, how about me? How about me? And we're all healed. One, what does one do? Runs back. And gets closer to the, and ends up at his feet. So one of them, through the answered prayer, got closer to the Lord. Then what does Jesus say?
We're not the ten cleansed.
We're not the ten cleansed? What else?
But the nine, where are they?
Where are they? Where are the nine? So the Lord did not appreciate the ingratitude of the nine. Sometimes, do you know that it's possible God answers your prayer and you go farther away from God than before you prayed? And according to this story, 90% of the time. Maybe that's why God refuses to answer that prayer. I don't know. He knows if I give this to you, I lose you. Anyway, I remember I saw this story. I told the Lord, Lord, don't answer all my prayers. It's okay. Because I ask for stupid things sometimes. So it's okay. At your discretion, answer my prayers. No hard feelings. But always be thankful. Be thankful. And pray that every answered prayer will bring you closer. But my general point is this. Sometimes we misunderstand the Lord's hand in our lives. Why things happen. I hope we would all realize whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Sometimes the answer isn't no. We thought it was no, but the Lord was just saying, not yet. You're not ready. Not now. Not in this way. I love you, but not in this way. I'll answer your prayer, but not in this way. And at the later in your life, you look back and say, Lord, thank you. You have always the best. Then three more things. Verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall away from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and through this many be defiled. There could be, well, let me finish reading. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or any profane person like Esau, who for one meal gave up his own birthright. Three more things here. The root of bitterness, a fornicator, and a profane person like Esau. We may need to develop this more this afternoon. First, the root of bitterness. If you look at the Recovery Version footnotes on this point, the root of bitterness, there it says this could be a Judaizer rose up and was troubling the saints. A person became a root of bitterness. Maybe he was bitter that by these saints going into the Christian way, it changed their family dynamics. So he's bitter that you don't follow us anymore. I don't know. It's just speculation, possibility. But saints, we should always be careful that we would never have a root of bitterness in our heart. Toward the Lord, toward the saints, toward the Father in misjudging his discipline. Instead of realizing his love, we may be bitter against the Lord. Lord, how come? You give them something, you give them something, you give them something. I've seen this. You know, I've seen this in families, young families, no children. This is a very real thing. We've seen saints suffer. That family has a child. That family has a child. They try for 10 years. No children. What a suffering. is so easy for a root of bitterness. Or even just marriage. Seems like everybody's getting married, except me. It's easy. Root of bitterness. Be careful. We should always be careful. Oh Lord Jesus, guard my heart. Please guard my heart. But you know what? We go through experiences in the church life. And it's very possible. We get offended. Just get offended. It's very possible a root of bitterness is there. And then it's possible for that person to become a root of bitterness. There are these that have been with us. And today they're just a root of bitterness. And all they do is spew out complaints and things. And that could affect you. Spending time with such a person. Today you don't have to spend time with such a person. All you have to do is read their blog. You don't even know them. I know them. You don't know them, but you read what the root of bitterness says. And then you say, oh. And that, just the one thought, what? You know what happens? You're running the race. And you go, You slow down. And you know what happens eventually? You exit the race. You know, for when we're going to, even coming here, many of us came by highway. You slow down at the exit, right? When you slow down, it's to exit. Be careful. You slow down, you may exit. Just beware of the root of bitterness. It's a very real thing. You may have a root of bitterness, and you could become a root of bitterness. Verse 16, any fornicator. This is most likely referring to Reuben. You know, Reuben and Esau. You know these two names? Reuben was one of the 12 tribes. Esau is Jacob's brother. They both lost their birthright, the right of the firstborn one. Reuben lost it through fornication. Esau lost it because he was hungry. One meal. Just one small thing could cause you to lose your birthright. Be careful. God says that you're a profane person. Esau did not sin. He just wanted some special soup. But he wanted that to the cost of his birthright. He negotiated his birthright away. Then, of course, he repented later, tried to get it back, couldn't get it back. So, saints, firstly, root of bitterness. Number two, fornication. Always be careful of this. Always be careful. The improper relationships. Always be careful. And then, anything that we would sell our enjoyment of Christ for worldly things. Always be careful. Those are obstacles. So anyway, we touched a little bit. What is the race? How to run? And what are the hindrances? I hope this fellowship has been a little help to you. How about we have a few prayers? Let's pray just out loud, but just one sentence. One sentence. One sentence prayers. And kind of corporate prayer. Then we still have a few minutes for your sharing. Amen.